This morning, I just want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in our nation, what's going on in our world, how we should be reacting. When I heard of the shootings last week and the officers that were killed, and this group is against this group and this group is against that group, and as I thought about that, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about it. And so I'm just going to talk out of my heart. I think I'm going to start in Ephesians. You know, I'm memorizing Ephesians, so naturally that's the first thing that will pop up in my spirit. But go to Ephesians 6. We're going to start there, and I want to talk to you about what's really going on. What is really going on? I thought of that scene in The Wizard of Oz. Do you remember the scene in The Wizard of Oz where Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow and Toto, they've made it to the castle, whatever that castle is, the Emerald City, and they're standing there, and the Wizard of Oz is screaming at them, and he's making a lot of noise, and they're shivering, and Toto runs over and pulls back the curtain, and there's all that's behind that curtain is a fat little man. And you know, I think it's time for us to pull back the curtain and find out what's really going on. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to pull back the curtain and find out what is really going on, and how can we as believers combat what is really going on. One of the things the Holy Spirit said to me coming over here was he spoke to me about the endurance of this Bible study. Some of you may not realize this. This Bible study is 38 years old. We have been meeting together every week, with some exceptions, for 38 years. I was pregnant with my daughter, and she's 37. When this Bible study started. And the other thing you may not realize is that in this room, there are people from every part of Houston. This is what the Lord said to me this morning. If this little group of women can get hold of what I want them to get hold of, they can affect change in this entire city. Let's pull back the curtain this morning and find out what's going on. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 12, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So one of the main problems that's going on is humans are trying to solve the problem by fighting humans. And even in terrorism, it's really not humans. You know, if you killed every person on the earth, if we arrested and killed every person with violent tendencies on the earth, the enemy would raise up another host of people with violent tendencies. Because the problem is not people. The problem is not flesh and blood. And we're told in Corinthians, our weapons are not natural weapons. The enemy is not natural, and our weapons cannot be natural. We have got to understand who we're fighting and how to fight. We have to do that. Because until we do, the conflict, the unreasonable, destructive conflict that is threatening the stability of our nation will continue. I want you to turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Because there's a couple things in Ephesians chapter 1 I want to point out to you. And first thing I want to point out to you is a part of the prayer in verse 17, chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So, Father, we pray right now that you will give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will not be ignorant concerning the devices of the enemy, but we will be wise and we will do warfare according to the strategies of heaven. Thank you, Father. And then in verse 18, it says that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Lord, we ask you to do that for us. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding that we may know. Now listen to what he wants us to know. The hope of his calling. He wants us to get a clear picture in our mind of God's purposes and plans for our life, his calling. He did not call us to destruction. He did not call us to defeat. He called us, I can tell you right now, I can quote what the purpose of God is on the earth. He said for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, I want you to make disciples of all men. So that's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, he wants us to get a clear picture of that. Whatever else is going on in the world, we have a calling. We have an anointing. Here's the second thing. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You know, I believe the greatest inheritance I have is the Holy Spirit. From Jesus, I have inherited the Holy Spirit. There's a quotation where Jesus made this statement. He said, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. What was he talking about? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, and he's inside us. And we need to realize this is an inheritance we have. If you go back just a few verses, it says, in him, in Jesus, you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you have believed and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. He sealed us. So we have an inheritance. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. And here's the third thing, that we might know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. In those verses, there are four Greek words for the word power. And those four Greek words encompass all the power of God. The dunamis, I'm not going to remember all of them without my notes, but I'm going to remember a few of them. The dunamis, the miracle-working power of God. The energia, that's that part of the power of God that energizes all the other power. It's like this in these lights. If you turn off the switch, the power is still in the cord to light that. But in order to get it, you got to turn the energy on, and then the light comes on. That's what energia is. We got the power in us. But we need energia to turn it on. We need to flip the switch and turn on the power of God that's resident inside us so we can Kratos, operative power and mighty power, God's power, all of that, all of his mighty power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead is available to us. Now, we just don't understand our power. We don't know who we are. We don't know the power we have. And we don't have any idea what God wants us to do. We're wandering around the world. We're believing God to meet our needs. Oh, God, I have this problem. We don't understand he wants us to get beyond that. He wants us to get into activating the kingdom of God. Now, notice he raised Jesus from the dead, and he seated him at his own right hand. Now, mark that place, but go back over to chapter 2, even with verse 5, but God. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which wherewith he loved us. I can never leave that verse out. I love that verse. God, but God, whatever's happening, what's happening in our nation, we need to say that, but God, say, but God. This morning, you're going to find out what's beyond that, but God for us. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we've been saved. Now, look what he did in verse 6. And he raised us up together, and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he seated Jesus at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. And when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually, we have been seated with him. That is a position of power. Say, position of power. We have been placed into a position of power and authority. My feet may be on the earth, but spiritually, I am in the heavenlies. And I'm not just in the heavenlies. I'm sitting with Christ at the right hand, the hand of power of God. I am seated with him, and so are you. Now, go back to chapter 1 because it's so good. And he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places far above. Say, far above. Oh, that's a good phrase. Far above. Not barely above. Not maybe a little bit above, but far above. Well, what's the above? Principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. So he said, I want you to understand, there is nothing that can attack you that is not below Jesus. And where are we seated? With Christ. With Christ. Now, these are the very same. This is very, I mean, you can take the list back to chapter 6, verse 12, and it's we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but here on the earth, we are wrestling against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Where are they? In the heavenly places. I think of Daniel. We won't turn there, but Daniel got a revelation from God, and he got a great burden from God. And he was overwhelmed with concern about what was going on with his nation. And it was time for deliverance. It was time for God to move. And so Daniel set himself to pray. And he prayed. How long did he pray? 21 days. And he didn't just pray, he fasted. He fasted and he prayed and he pressed in for 21 days. And for 21 days, nothing happened. He didn't feel anything. He didn't hear anything. But he just kept on pressing in. And after 21 days, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And he said, Daniel, greatly beloved of God, God really loves you, Daniel. And I want you to know, the first day you prayed, God heard you. The very first time you prayed, God heard you. And he sent me, he sent an angel to give you the answer to your prayer. But between the heavenlies and the earth, a battle took place. I ran into the prince of Persia, the wicked prince of Persia, the demon prince over that nation. And I even had to call some reinforcements in. Michael came and helped me. And we defeated that booger, and here I am. Now listen, I want you to know that there is something we can do. There's a great war waging in the heavenlies right now. All over this nation, all over our world, there are men and women who have gotten a revelation from God and have set themselves to pray. And there's work going on in the heavenlies. But they need reinforcements. And we are the reinforcements. We are the reinforcements. And we have to realize that we are far above. Now, go back to chapter 1 and let's finish this chapter. And then we'll see where the Lord takes us. And he has put all things under his feet, under the feet of Jesus. And he has given him to be the head over all things to the church. Say, that's us.
That's us.
It's not you. That's me. I'm the church, y'all. That's us. Gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now listen, to understand what we're to do, we got to understand who we are. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. And I've taught you this 1,000 times, but it's got to fit here in case somebody hears this who's never heard me teach you this. Your head contains your brain. And your brain controls your entire body. If you get injured and your brain is injured and you were declared brain dead, they cut off the machine because there's no hope for you. Even if your heart is still beating, they'll cut off the machine because there's no hope for you if you're brain dead, because your brain tells your heart to beat. And the minute that machine goes off, your heart stops beating and everything else stops too. All the rest of you is the operative part, but it's the brain that sends out the signals to tell your parts what to do. Isn't that amazing? Now think about this. Jesus is the head. He's the brains of this operation. You're not the brains of this operation. It's Jesus. And he's flowing down through his body. And we are the operative part of Jesus on the earth. Think about that. We are the operative part of Jesus on the earth. If God's going to do anything on this earth, he's going to do it through us. We are his hands. We are his feet. That little song that Doris sang last week, touch through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Love through me, Holy Spirit. He's in us, and he wants to be through us. But we got to recognize who we are. We've got to recognize who we are. And all of the principalities and powers are under his feet. Now, his feet are not a feet in your body. This is a picture of the church as the body of Christ. And he's not deformed. His feet are not attached to his head. His feet are at the very bottom of the body. They're at the bottom of us. The feet are attached to the church. That means that here on the earth, there is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. And under the feet means under the authority of. Satan is under the authority of the church. But you can be a king on a throne. And if you never do anything to stop evil in the realm of your kingdom, it'll just continue. What you allow will continue. So we got to rise up. We got to rise up. So the first thing I want to tell you about rising up is this. We just talked about the power of God in us. Think about that. In your born-again spirit. You know, Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, Peter made that wonderful declaration, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, it wasn't flesh and blood that told you that. That didn't, your brilliant brain didn't give you that information. But my Father in heaven gave you that revelation. And on that revelation, now listen to what Jesus said. I am going to build my church. And all the gates, the strategies, the plans, the devices of hell will never prevail against my church. It's not going to be a weak, willy-nilly church that sits in the corner and cries. It's not going to be a church that's so involved with how we look and what we're doing in our community to make our community beautiful. All of that is well and good, but there's something greater in that church. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that has the potential to completely bind the enemy and rob him of power on the earth. I'll build my church. And then he said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to show you the strategy of releasing the kingdom of God. Now, it's in us. The kingdom of God is in us. He said, I'm going to tell you how to release it. Whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in the heavenlies. Whatever you loose on the earth must be loosed in the heavenlies. So he gave, it's just such a simple thing, but it's such a powerful thing. We release the power of the kingdom of God with our words. With our words. With our words we release, but we got to make sure our words line up with what the Bible says. We got to make sure our words line up with what God is telling us to do and to say. We've got to understand that they're powerful. Well, you say, but Satan is powerful too. Oh, let's look behind the curtain. That little guy behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz sounded really ferocious until the curtain was pulled back. Then he stuttered, and he just was sort of, and you know, I'm not saying that Satan is not a worthy opponent, but he's a lot of smoke and mirrors, folks. He's a lot of smoke and mirrors. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, when God created Adam and Eve, he blessed them and he said, now listen to what he said to them, verse 28. Then God blessed men, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing. One translation says every creeping thing on the earth, that moves on the earth. So let's just think for a minute. Satan's origin, Satan is a created being. He's not an eternal being. God is an eternal being. And God created Satan. Satan rebelled. Now, when Satan rebelled, what happened to him? He got thrown out of heaven, didn't he? He took a third of the angels with him. Now, here's the question I have for you. When God threw Satan out of heaven, did he throw any power with him? No. In fact, in Genesis, if in fact, and I will have to wait till we get to heaven to find out if this is where he landed, if when he got thrown out, he landed here. But Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there's a period there. And then it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Darkness is the absence of power. That's what darkness is. And the world was without form and void. So when Satan got here, there was no power around. And then God said, light be. Light is harnessed power. Now, Satan knew he could never get God's power. It had been demonstrated to him very effectively that he was not as strong as God, that he would never be as strong as God, that he was a created being. He was created to worship God. And when he decided to rebel, he got thrown out. So he knew he couldn't get God's power, but he was listening. And when God created this little man, he created this atmosphere. He created this area for man to live. And then he said, I'm giving you dominion and authority. He knew he couldn't get God's dominion, so he went after ours. And he got it. He stole the dominion of man. He got Adam and Eve to fall. And he's been using our power against us ever since because we're too stupid to know the power available to us. But we're not stupid anymore, folks. Jesus said it in Luke, I think chapter 10. I give you power. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Anything he's stolen from you, anything, any energy, any power he exudes, I want you to understand you've got more power than him. I give you power and authority over the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You may tread on scorpions. You may tread on serpents. They're under your feet. Isn't that interesting? You got to tread on something under your feet. So you just walk on over them. So what should we do? We know that we have an enemy. We know that these principalities and powers, if you broke those down, I would say principalities and powers are familiar spirits that follow generations and that they look for people that they can possess because it's illegal for a spirit to operate on the earth without a body. That's the reason Jesus had a human body, because he could not legally operate and redeem us without a human body. He had to be a human. He said in the Word, you prepared a body for me, O God. And so demons, without a body, they can scare you, but they really can't hurt you. But if they can get in a human being, if they can possess a human being, then they can cause them to do wicked, horrible things. They can cause them to blow themselves up and everybody around them. John 10:10 tells us the plan of Satan. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. So anything that's killing, anything that's stealing, anything that's destroying is of Satan. Now, do we have power over that? Can we stop that? Well, the answer is not to go try to find everybody who's demon-possessed and cast the demon out of them, because that would take us a lot of time. No, we need to go beyond humanity, and we need to fight them. Now, keep your finger in Ephesians 6, because we're going to end there. But go over to Revelation, something else. You know, I've taught you all this. And I've taught me all this, but it comes back when we need it. And this is in the last days. Think we're living in the last days? I think we're living in the very last of the last days. I think we're heading into eternity. Praise God. I'm ready. I'm excited. And in the very beginning, there are seals, six seals. The first four seals, you remember when I asked the Lord to give me a practical application of these seals, that he opened my eyes and he showed me that the first four seals, known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse, these first four seals were four master spirits who wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of this dark age. And I just want you to listen again to what they are. Here's the first one. A white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. That spirit of conquest and control, it's in the earth. It's a controlling. It operates in little ways, and it operates in big ways, and we have to learn to recognize that spirit. But this is the one we need to go after, the second one. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. And another horse, fierce red, went out. Now listen to what he does. And it was granted to this one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. What is happening in our earth today? This horse is riding around. He is operating in our earth today. And of course, the third seal is famine and lack. And the fifth and the fourth, the third seal and the fourth seal is sickness and death. And we won't look at those, but every time we pray, we bind those. Every time we pray in this Bible study, we bind those. But now go back to Ephesians 6, because we're talking specifically about what's happening in our nation now, and the confusion and the turmoil, and how can we fight against it? Well, all of Ephesians 6 is about the armor of God, and 90% of it is about getting dressed. I believe we're dressed for the battle. We're clothed. But I just want to skip down to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. The knowledge, the helmet, it covers your head. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know I have the Spirit of God dwelling. I know who I am. So you got to take that. You got to know who you are. and the sword of the Spirit. And the Spirit there is capitalized in my Bible. So that means this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. This is the weapon. We have a weapon. And the sword of the Spirit, which is, now this is our weapon, the Word of God. Our weapon is the Word of God. And what are we to do with it? Praying always, with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that's praying in tongues, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In the Spirit-filled Bible, it talks a little bit about this prayer, and it says this, prayer is not so much a weapon or even a part of the army as it is the means by which we engage in the battle itself. So we don't clothe ourselves in prayer. We've got on the shield of faith. We've got the belt of truth. You know, we're clothed, but we have a weapon. It's the Word of God. But prayer is the battle. Prayer is how we use the weapon. We pray it. We pray the Word. We pray the Word. And it's the purpose for which we are armed. To put on the armor of God is to prepare for battle. Prayer is the battle itself, with God's Word being our chief weapon employed against Satan during our struggle. So what do we pray? We pray what Jesus said to pray. We release the kingdom of God that's within us. We release the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. We come against the powers of darkness. We declare it unlawful for those powers, for the power of rage and violence to operate in our sphere of influence. We pray that the eyes, just pray that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 over our nation. Pray it over our leaders, that they would come to their senses, the eyes of their understanding flooded with light. If we begin to pray that, then the kingdom of God will begin to come forth in our, and who knows what God will do? Who knows what kind of move of God we will see in the land when we just begin to release the power within us through prayer, through speaking the word. Now, why is this important? Because it's so easy to watch what's going on television and to get into a negative conversation rather than speaking the word. Don't do it. Shut your mouth. Interesting the timing of God releasing my little book, isn't it? Shut your mouth. Don't allow your mouth to speak, to agree with the enemy that we're in trouble, that our nation's going down the tube, that there's no hope. There is hope. We are the kingdom of God. There are more believers in this nation. Somebody asked me, said, you know, it's been said that the United States is not mentioned in the book of Revelation. And why do you think that is? And I said, well, I can tell you what I personally believe. I believe there are probably more believers in the United States of America than any other nation on the earth. And if the rapture took place today and every believer was snatched out of the United States of America, she would be without power on the earth. And she would be totally insignificant. So it's only evidence to me that maybe the rapture's taken place and we're gone. Now, there are Christians all over the world, but God has used us, God birthed us to take the gospel to the kingdom. And probably more missions outreach over the years has happened through the United States of America than any other nation on the earth. Do you really think God is going to wipe us out as long as we continue to do the work of the kingdom? He is not. He is not done with me, and he is not done with you. And he is not done with our nation. And all during the presidential elections, let's pull the curtains back. Let's bind the enemy. Let's bind lies. Let's bind all of that. And let's just pray the will of God. And because I don't know God's choice, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Because I don't know the plan, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to bind the enemy, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Can you do that with me? And I believe we're going to see in our personal lives, we're going to see God moving in Jesus' name. If you're listening to this, you've never been born again, we want to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus. Pray this after us, and you can be born again and join the fight in the Spirit with us today. Pray, oh God, I know without Jesus I'm lost, but I don't want to be lost. I believe Jesus is the Christ. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he rose again and is alive today, the Lord of heaven and earth. I invite you, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior, and from this day, I will serve you. Thank you for saving me, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray that you will remind us daily to guard our mouth, that you will use us to call your kingdom to the earth, that we will release kingdom power all around us every day. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you need to get in a good church, be baptized in water immediately, read your Bible, and pray every day.